All right, now I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we've had various discussions and studies of chapters 1 and 2, which are beneficial. We could take a lot of different men's outlines and study them. I made one a long time ago, and I looked at it, and it looked so cold and old that I threw it aside, except it's still stuck on my Bible. I see where I have it, the theme for the book of Philippians, joyous Christian living. And when I got to studying the third chapter, I thought there wasn't too much joy in these first few verses in this chapter. But rejoicing is there, and we'll discuss it in a moment. But there is the theme of joy throughout the book, as we'll discuss in a moment. Now, in this chapter 3 that we're to begin this morning, the very first word is not a preacher's word, finally. We've joked about that sometimes, about this word finally here. Finally, and then in chapter 4, Paul says in verse 8, finally. But that isn't actually the way that was meant back at that time. And if you want to take some interesting studies, you can get into the study of Guthrie's book and some of the other books of discussion. Even Lightfoot has it in his book back in his day, of discussion of the possibility of the interpolation or the introducing in this book of Philippians, this portion of chapter 3. But I was appreciating, as I read that section in Guthrie, how that he didn't believe that that really had validity, that this is a portion of the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, we could go into the study of the background of Philippians in Acts 16, and you know that story. And out of that story, one thing I never even thought of for years, I never thought of it until yesterday, how that Luke was with Paul when he went through all of that experience there of being in that jail. The Apostle Paul had a physician with him. That's interesting. I don't mean in the jail he had the physician, but at Philippi he had a physician. And when their stripes were on their backs and they were rejoicing that they could sing for the glory of God, and they got out of that prison, there was a physician to help them too. I never thought of that till yesterday. But now in Philippians chapter 3, here are the words that we're going to take up as a sort of an outline. Two words for today are counsel and clarification, verses 1 through into 7. I'll put it that way, because we'll overlap 7 today and tomorrow. But verses 1 through into 7, counsel and clarification. We'll discuss it in a minute. Then tomorrow, we're taking up that section that's so dear to my heart on confidence and commitment. That's verses 8 through 14. Might even start with 7. But confidence and commitment. Then on Thursday, we'll take these words and I'm not satisfied with the first one of the two of them, but verses 15 to 21 I put consecration and consummation. I think we may change that first one before we get to that last section. But today we want to take up this section of counsel. And here the inspired word of God has some counsel for a church. You know, this was a church that had a lot of troubles and difficulties and persecutions and heartaches and misrepresentations and misunderstandings in it. And when you come to this chapter, here we have some religious people who were not born again, who are in the church. That sounds like 1974. We got a lot of churches that way, even grace churches, that have people who make a profession of salvation with no possession. But Paul had a lot of trouble with these people. And you can see, in spite of Paul's attitude, though he was in prison, in spite of his attitude of loving his own people, the people of Israel, his own nation, compare Romans 10 and Romans 9, you know those two chapters. But in spite of his attitude of loving his people, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel and so on, here he defends the faith. And that's why we put this counsel that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Now, the beginning, we'll start with the first word, finally, meaning actually, as for the rest, rejoice in the Lord. Now, as Paul wrote that, no doubt there could have been some time between his writing that portion and then his writing the rest of it. Possibly so. But that phrase, rejoice in the Lord, and the reason so many of us have seen to have the emphasis on joy in this epistle is because the words, even in our English version, are right here in these chapters. Look back at chapter 1, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I pout about it. It doesn't say that at all. But that's the reaction of a lot of preachers when some other fellow can be successful, you know, and they haven't been. And then especially when a fellow like Paul was put in prison and some of these others were going out preaching, Paul says, I just rejoice that the truth is put out. Now that's a real lesson for you when you go in the ministry, rejoicing over the benefits and blessings that someone else can have that you don't receive. But here, that's one of them. In verse 26 of the first chapter, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And we could take up the details of his visits there. But the point is rejoicing. Now, chapter 2, and we had verses 16 to 18 in that chapter that have that phrase. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and I will be, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, in other words, if I lose my life while I'm here in prison, I'm certainly sorrowful about it. I want to send a kite out and somebody, you get me out of here. I've been mistreated. Is that what Paul says? No. He says, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Even though I'm a prisoner in jail for the faith, he says, I thank God for your reaction. You don't look down upon me as a jailbird, but you are rejoicing that the reason I'm here is for the faith. So now you come to this one, and in verse 3 he has the word rejoice again of chapter 3, and in chapter 4 you have Paul writing again at verse 4 twice the phrase rejoice. But now here, rejoice in the Lord, Paul says. Now watch the next. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous. Then I got into some figures of speech that I was not familiar with. Litotes, I think it's called, something like that. This little phrase, not grievous. And the phrase in other versions, not sluggish, not irksome, not tedious. Well, what in the world do I mean by a figure of speech, litotes? Well, did you ever hear the phrase, not bad at all? We use that one, don't we? Not bad at all. What do we mean? Well, the expression of the affirmative by negative of its contrast or contrary side. Now, what do I mean? Not bad at all. That's expressing the affirmative. It's good. See? You say, oh, that's not bad at all. Well, we mean good. That's fine. See? So Paul says, well, I don't rejoice. I don't regret. It doesn't grieve me. That's a litotes, they call it in figure of speech. It doesn't grieve me or irk me to try to help you, even though I'm in a bad strait myself. But the Holy Spirit had him right. I have a love for you people. Now, a fellow who's in prison down in a dungeon has a love for people on the outside. What a prison message you have here. It is not grievous, but, what's the positive? For you, it helps your safety. That's what that really means. It really helps to keep you going. Now, for a man to write a letter down in a dungeon and send it out to the people way off in Macedonia, to Philippi, and say, well, I've got a concern for you, and I rejoice, and I want you to. And it doesn't bother me, although my circumstances are here. I'm not under them. But it's for your safety that I'm doing this. I want you to really be established. Okay? That's real counsel, isn't it? You see where I get my word counsel? Paul is really saying, in spite of what's going on back there, you rejoice. And not only that, but don't worry about me. I'm concerned and I want you to be established in it. Now, verse 2. In his counsel, he says here, I want to give a note of caution. And do you notice in our version we have that word three times? Beware, beware, beware. Be on the lookout. Be alert. Be awake. And oh, what a real little lesson of counsel that is. Oh, how sluggish we get in church. You know, for so many years I was in the pulpit and I had to be alert. And then when I get out in the pew and I sit down, and oh, how easy it is just to take it easy and say, well, that's his responsibility. So I'm learning a lot by being a preacher sitting in the pew. And for that pastor to communicate a message to me, come on, Rich, look what he's saying. Hey, there's an idea, see? So the same thing goes for you in class. The same thing goes for you as a person going into the ministry or into Christian work. Be alert. And here's a church with a council. Wake up. Don't go there and be half asleep. Now, I tell you, I know it sure is easy on Sunday morning. I've found it, boy, when you don't have to do a thing in the world but sit. So easy to say, yeah, I agree with you, like that, and go off to sleep nearly. But Paul says, beware. Now watch how he talks about religious people. Oh, my goodness. Paul, you don't use very good manners. You're not very nice. He talks about his own people. Beware of dogs. He's not talking about a dog as a watchdog that is going to really protect you. No, you can check it in the versions and in the meaning of this word dog here. Beware of the types of dogs that are vicious, that are ready to be carnivorous. Be eating. Eat up everything they can get a hold of. And they're going to eat up everything in the church. They're going to find fault with everything in that church at Philippi. Says, I want you people to be aware that there's religious people that are coming into your church, and they're going to find fault with every section of your church and of your work that's done. Now, this is a former pastor having a concern for a church that he's left. See? He was the founder of that work. Now, after these years, he still loves those people. I say that's a reason for a person to go back sometimes for his former pastors. Go in and sit down among those people. How is things coming? Not to cause trouble, but to give a counsel to those people and say, now look out. Don't be. You see, the first year they idolize a pastor. The second year they criticize him. The third year they ostracize him. And the fourth year they pulverize him. Get rid of him. And when they got rid of him, look what we did. We're still here and the smoke's still going out. He's gone. Then after he's gone, oh, say, you know, he was a wonderful pastor, because this fellow, I just can't stand what he does here. I can't stand. So they start the same thing over again, see? Paul says, beware of religious dogs. You check that little word, dogs. What a significant thing about the people of Israel. You can go clear back in Isaiah and other verses.